You are listening to the Eternity Church Podcast. For location and service times, please visit us online at myeternitydm.com.
Hey, it's Father's Day today. And did you know that Scripture, if you've read your Bible or you've heard a few sermons, you'll probably know that Scripture talks a lot about generations, and it uses fathers to represent generations. Did you know that? Right? There was this generation and that, and Scripture uses fathers to represent generations. And so I want to talk to you about generations today, not just because it's Father's Day, but because I had this word on my heart and a few things we want to share with you. But this sermon's not merely for fathers and men, but it's for every father and every mother, every son and every daughter. This message today is for every single man and every single woman and every single man and every single woman. It's for everybody in here who wants to leave a legacy for generations to come. This is a message today for all those who want to leave their mark, who want to leave their name on the scrolls of history as being among those that went all in to see God's kingdom, God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's what this is for. If you want to do that today, then I want to preach for you. Come on now. See, I want to be the guy that when I look 50, 100 years into the future, you know what? When I've been dead 50 years, that people are still affected by what I've done. No, I don't care if they know my name. I don't care if they're talking, oh, Pastor Jesse, blah, blah, blah. No, I don't care. What I care about is that I did something that's affected their life and blessed their lives then because of changes I made in my life, our church, and our families today. Amen. I want to leave a legacy. I want to leave something that stands the test of time. Something eternal. Amen. Anybody else want that? Well, then turn your Bibles to Psalm 78, 1-8. Who's got their Bibles? Show me your Bibles. You know, when I say show me your Bibles, if your phone is your Bible, I'm including you. Come on. You know what? You got to get excited and passionate about the Word of God. There is nothing else on this planet, nothing written or spoken, that will change your life like understanding and getting the Word of God in your heart. Amen? And so when I say who's got their Bibles, all right, I want a passionate response. I want an excited response, even if your Bible's your phone. Amen? See, your phone can be your Bible. It doesn't have to be a bunch of paper wrapped in a dead pig. All right, just that's what leather is. You know, the Bible isn't the pages or even the print. The Bible is the words. And if you've got it in your phone, you've got your Bible here. So who's got their Bibles today? Good to hear. Psalm 78, verses 1-8. Are you ready? My people, hear my teachings. Listen to the words of my mouth. I'll open my mouth with a parable and I will utter hidden things, things from on old, things we have heard and known, things our ancestors have told us. We will not hide from them we will not hide them. This is the things we're teaching them. We will not hide them from their descendants, and we will tell the next generation the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord, his power and the wonders he has done. Come on, we just sung a song about the wonder of God in a billion galaxies and the wonder of God in a billion mistakes forgiven in Jesus' name. Amen. We will tell them of all that God has done. He decreed statutes for Jacob and Israel, which he commanded our ancestors to teach their children, so the next generation would know them, and even children yet to be born, and they in turn would tell their children, and they would put their trust in God and would not forget his deeds, but would keep his commands. They will not be like their ancestors, a stubborn and rebellious generation whose hearts were not loyal to God and whose spirits were not faithful to him. Scripture makes it clear here in the Psalms quite often and time again throughout the pages of the Word of God, we are told to take an interest in what lies ahead. Of not just ourselves, but of our children and our children's children. Of what lies ahead of not just our children, but our neighbor's children, the person sitting next to us, their colleagues, and all those that will come and join us. We're told to pay attention to what lies ahead. And I tell you what, when I think about what lies ahead, I can't help but be amazed by what will probably be different. Things are different today than they were yesterday. You know that, right? Are y'all awake? Come on now, y'all awake? Good to hear. Things are different now than they were when I was a boy. I'm only 35. And I can tell you, there is a great difference now than when I was a boy, right? I'm only 35 and it's changed so much. I was reminded on Thursday evening that I'm old. Sitting there, sitting down, and eating some food, and a couple of young punks that I'd never met before just come down. They sit down with me, and I'm like, "Oh, friendly young boys." And then about 10 seconds after meeting me, one of them gets on the phone and tells his parents, he must have been about 19, and tells his parents, "I'm just sitting here with an older guy having a conversation." I'm like, "Son, I will slap you." And then immediately I realize I am old. You know you're old when when someone calls you old and your immediate response is to use the word son in response. Do you know you're old, right? You know you're way older than them. I'm thinking, kid, if I didn't have this gray beard, you'd think I was 12. Come on now. It's not fair. But I tell you what, when I look at how much the world has changed, I think about it must be so tremendous looking back 50 years or even 70 years and seeing how the world has changed. Have you noticed any differences? Like just technology on its own. Like without even thinking about the way the attitudes and culture and right and wrong have changed and will continue to change, technology itself is something you can see with your eyes, such a difference, can't you? It is insane. I sound like such an old man, I know. I was recently in a car with my boy Judah. We're in a friend's car, excuse me. So Judah and I, we're in a friend's car. Judah's 8, right? He's 8. And my friend has a couple of cars, and one of them's really old. He got it on purpose. He wanted an old car. And it had window winders. And so Judah and I are in the car, and I wind down my window, and Judah wants to wind his down. I go, "You can wind it down." He's like, "Where's the button?" I'm like, "There is no button. How do I wind it down?" I'm like, "With that stick." He's like, "What do I do with that?" I'm like, "You go like this." So he goes like this. "This is the best thing ever." And then he goes, "Dad, can we get a car with these?" And I'm like, when I was his age and friends had the button, I'm like, "Dad, can we get a car with electric windows?" Dad's like, "It's just another thing to break, son. They'll stop working. What's worse, if we roll the car in a big puddle of water, they won't work and we'll die." I'm like, "But Dad, it's Australia. There is no water. What are you talking about?" You know what I think about these kids, right? I'm thinking about the difference between how I was raised and how they're raised. It's only 30-ish years, all right? So, it's like, I'm not old, all right? If you're young and you think I'm old, shut up, all right? And so I think about, right, and those kids, right, and even probably people your age, they look at us, and when we want to talk to someone in the car next to us, we go like this. And young people are like, "What is this? Why do they go like this when they want to talk to people?" Right? Who does that still? Like, you want to talk to someone and you're like, you go like this. Yeah, anyone? You do, don't you, right? I still do it all the time. And, you know, like, young people look at you and like, what is this? You trying to punch them or something with an upside down uppercut or something? What's going on? They will never, ever understand why we make that motion, right? Things are different, aren't they? Or TV remotes, when they first came out, they were attached to the TV. It didn't actually stop you from having to get up. You just didn't have to walk as far. So the cord could come to the coffee table. So you still had to get up and go to the coffee table to change a channel, but then you didn't have to go like the extra 6 steps to the TV. Who had one of those? We had one of those. Now, some of you might be like, "Jesse, that seems older than you." I'm from Australia. Took a while for technology to get there, right? When I was a kid, my dad used to put me on a hamster wheel just to power the TV, so... Speaking of TV, what about videos, VHS? Come on now. You had to put a thing this big in a thing this big to play a video, right? And if it got watched too many times, you could tell the tape was stretched because people looked different on it, right? It wasn't people were overweight or anything. The video had stretched. And you had to rewind it before you take it back, or the video shop was going to charge you $2. $2 because you didn't rewind the video. Because now he's, and they had speed rewinders at the video shop. They could put like 10 in there at once, click a button, and zing, they rewound all the videos. Do you, and does anyone else in here ever just rewind the DVD just because it's funny? No? I do that every now and again. I'll be sitting there like, I'm going to rewind this for the next person. Zzzz. DVD starts rewinding. My kids think I'm flipping crazy. Or cell phones. We did not have cell phones. If something was important, it'd still be important when we got home. And then we could call them. If we put 50 cents in the jar by the phone. Because dad's not letting you make a phone call unless you pay for it, right? Whose parents did that to them, right? I feel like I've got the meanest dad in here. I'm going to go delete my Happy Father's Day. Yeah. Nowadays, you try to get your kids to pay for that, they'll be like, they got this big sack of coins in their pocket. They pull it from this pocket, they put it in the sack in this pocket, and then they dial. Hey, Steve. Wouldn't work. Black and white screens. And like, I actually got to have a black and white screen. And then it was awesome when the background, actually, first it was black text with an orange or green background. And then one day it went to white, like black and white was a privilege over black and green, right? Fantastic. And then Nokia 5110s with Snake. Everyone's like, smartphones ruined everyone's lives. Yeah, because you didn't spend an hour every day going like this, trying to get the snake to eat the little dot. We all did that, didn't we? Radio stations having competitions over who got the highest score on Snake. Yeah. Windows 3.11. I had that. My first computer had Windows 3.11. I had to type win.exe, enter, to get the thing to start up. No double-clicking anything. You had to type it in DOS. Who else had to do that? Come on. Who hands up if you have no idea what I'm talking about. Yeah. You're like, what is this .exe business? It means execute. You needed the computer to execute the command you wrote in it, right? Yeah, okay, I've lost half of the people in here now. Or corporal punishment in schools. Can I say I'm glad some things have changed? I am glad some things have changed. Now, my wife didn't have to endure this kind of torture because she grew up in the weak states in the south. I grew up in the northern states in Australia, and they're the tough ones, right? Where it's the outback, all right? When you hear about the outback, that's not those pansies down south, all right? That's the tough guys up north. We had corporal punishment when I was in school. These days, if your teacher spanks you, they're going to prison. When I was in school, my teacher spanked me more than my dad did. And who knows that my dad spanked me a lot, right? And let me tell you, if you're in here and you're like, spanking's bad, you would have spanked me if I was your kid, all right? If you have a kid like me, you will start spanking your kid. Yes, you will. Man, nowadays, if you go to school looking like your parents hit you with a stick, they call the police. When I was in school, it was the teacher hitting you with the stick. I'm glad that doesn't happen anymore. If a teacher hits my kid with a stick, I'm going to level them. Mm-hmm. No, not level with them, level them, right? I'm glad some things have changed, amen? Come on now. If you're in here and you're under about 25, you probably don't know what it's like to have to say a mean thing to someone's face. We couldn't Facebook them that they're a moron. We had to build up the guts, the steam inside us to say it to their face and risk a beating in the mouth. And if we thought that was going to happen, do you know what we did? We didn't say the dumb thing. Yeah, yeah. We couldn't because we would have got beaten up. There was no other way to be a jerk other than to your face, right? I kind of wish we had a little bit of that, but we couldn't even email them because no one invented it yet. Come on now, we could text people when I was in about year 12, right? But then we could only text people who had the same cell phone provider as us. Remember when you couldn't text someone on Verizon because you were on AT&T? How annoying was those days? Who knows, things have changed. Things have changed and they will continue to change. One thing I get solace from is when I look at the toilet paper. It's still a white roll of paper on a little piece of cardboard. Still, they packaged it different now. They're like, this one's got a pattern on it. I'm like, I don't care. It's the same. Don't change that one thing. All right, I lost you all on that too. Here's the thing though. Scripture makes it clear to us that it is up to us today to decide what we will change and what we will leave the same and what we will hand on to the generations to come. Scripture is very clear that it's something that we have to be intentional about, not accidental. That we need to decide what will it look like for the generations to come. Don't just let it happen, but decide. See, there's generations. There's so many different generations. We got the greatest generation. Come on, who's grateful for them? We got the baby boomers. We got Generation X. We got the millennials. Generation Z, or Z if you don't know how to speak English. Each generation is distinct and different from those that came before it and all that will come after it. Have you noticed? They have different priorities and completely different experiences. They see the world differently. It's easy for the generations to live in conflict with one another, frustrated by the differences between them and us and them and us, and those above are too old school and those below are too new school. The only ones who got it right are mine. Is that how we go usually? But we want to find out from the Word of God and from God, what is our responsibility to the next generation? I want to show you a video in just a second. This video is about millennials, and it's hilarious, and it's really funny. It's true for some millennials. It's not true for all millennials, all right? If you're in here and you're like, that ain't me, then it ain't you, all right? And it's a massive generalization, but it's freaking funny, so listen up.
Ding, ticka, ding, ticka, ding, 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 ding. There he sits inside your local coffee shop, sporting a man bun and facial hair. Somehow he believes, although he has no job, that by his 30s he will be a millionaire. M-I-L-L-E-N-N-I-A. On her Instagram with the quote that's inspirational, hopes to change the world while wearing yoga pants, armed with her dreams and knowledge of essential oils. M-I-L-L-E-N-N-I-A. Criticism isn't easy for their ears. They feel like they know most everything. See, they grew up with undeserved confidence, 'cause they got trophies just for participating. M-I-L-L-E-N. Up. pray for millennials.
Come on, what do you reckon? Now, that's a funny video, right? Now, I'm 35, and honestly, there are things about some people who are younger than me that can annoy me, but I got to tell you now, who knows that not all millennials are like that, right? Come on, hands up if you know an awesome millennial. Come on, hands up if you know a millennial that's doing a great job and makes you proud. Hands up, there we go. There's some great ones out there, but it is funny because I tell you what, some of that stuff is true. Some of it's true, right? About some people, right? And I got to tell you, I've met some people who are not millennials that's true about as well, right? Maybe start by leaving your parents' home when you're 57, right? And I tell you what, here's the thing, though. There are differences between generations. And we look at people and we look at millennials, and quite often we'll be like, ah, stupid millennials, ah, idiot, all this stuff that we might start to vomit out of our mouths about a particular generation, instead of saying, hey, you know what? There seems to be a bit too much of this. I'm going to pray for these people. I'm going to actually stand up and show these people how something's done. And showing them how it's done, so I'm going to show you how it's done, you little moron. Watch this. No, it's come with me. Let's do this together. It's, hey, you need help trying to make this dream of yours come true? Hey, maybe you want to sell yoga pants. I'm going to show you how to do it. I'm going to help you do it. I'm going to pray for you. Ah, oh, this generation's so ungrateful. I want to ask you, what did you thank God for in front of them? Did you thank God for something in front of them? Did you teach them how to be grateful? Or did you just quietly have gratefulness in your heart, but you never ever showed them how to do it? Ah, oh, this generation, they're so lazy. Well, did you take them to work with you? Have you ever seen a young, lazy millennial, quote unquote? But it's not just them. You know it's true. It's some people in my age. I missed out by 1 year. I'm whatever it is before them. And then there's the next group. Did you grab one of these people and say, hey, come to work with me. I want to show you how it's done. Did you say, hey, come watch this? Did you ever say, hey, come golf with me. We're going to talk about this. Did you ever do that? Did you ever invest into them? Or do we stand there and get frustrated by what we hate about those above us and what we hate about those below us? Someone else join this guy and clap. I gotta tell you, this generation, if you feel like, oh, they're so entitled, someone raised them. This generation is so ungrateful, someone taught them to be that way. Oh, they're so lazy, someone raised them to be lazy. So this thing, that stuff that we dislike about everybody, every generation was raised by a generation. Oh, my dad's generation is so hard-hearted. Someone raised them. Oh, my kids are so lazy. I raised them. Hello. Ouch. That hurt myself. You know what, when we think about the greatest generation and we try to compare them to millennials and we pound on millennials so much, don't we? This video was not made to pound on millennials. It was made to talk about things like this. Instead of pounding on them, we need to be loving and embracing them. Hey, you know what? Their lives aren't written off. Maybe they took a little bit longer to launch, right? But they're not a write-off. Do something about it. Help someone. Invest in someone. Amen. Set some culture in your life that you go, do you know what? I feel like millennials are that video. Do you know what? If you think that, you have a responsibility by God to go find a millennial and get in their life. Not saying, hey, stupid millennial, I'm going to show you how it's done. But hey, come hang out with me. I'm going to show you how some things are done. Come on now, if you think they're so bad, you have a God-given responsibility that you better not turn your back on, because that's when we look at it and we go, man, each generation gets worse after the next, because we didn't take this God-given responsibility seriously. Come on, someone say, preach! Good, you're all are awake. You know what? I do love the greatest generation. You do too, don't you? But I tell you what, when my kids are older, if they're still the greatest generation, we failed. Hey, I'm glad we called them the greatest generation back then. But when they're all gone, which is not long away, when they're all gone, it's not too long away. If in 20 years, we're still calling them the greatest generation, we all failed. We did jack to set up the next generation. because we raised them. We raised them. We taught them. We got to do something about it. I'm grateful for their sacrifice. I love them. My granddaddy is in the greatest generation. He did crazy things that I never have to ever have to do. But I want to tell you, you don't have to go to war to be great. Now, I'm grateful for everyone who did. And I'm grateful for the soldiers we've got right now. I'm grateful for my friend over here. I'm grateful for the people in our lives that have done things like that. But there are ways to do great things for God, and you don't have to be a part of that generation to be great. Amen? And if they're the greatest thing that ever happened, then we failed. I want my kids to be better than them and me. Amen? I want them to do more for the cause of the gospel of Jesus Christ than they did and than I ever will. I want them to do more. Amen? I want my sons and daughters to be better than me. I'm not the guy who needs the guy who replaces me. Whether it be one of your kids or one of my kids, I don't know if it'll be your son or daughter or my son or daughter who replaces me in 30 years. I don't need them to fail, so I feel good about myself. Oh man, see, oh yeah, I left and it all went to crap. You know when people leave a job and they're like, I left my job and it all went to crap after I left? I'm sorry, that's not a good thing. That actually means you didn't teach anyone else how to do something. It's not a good, the good thing is when you leave and it gets better. That means you're a winner. Man, you know what, if things get better when you leave, not because you were like a piece of bitterness and negativity and just, you're just a blah, you know. But if you're good at your job and then it gets better when you leave, I want to hire those people. They're the people I want to hire that raise up a generation of people to do better than them behind them. Amen. That's what I want to do. I want to leave my kids with more opportunity than ever, more gratefulness than ever, more godliness than ever, more and more and more. I want to set them up to win. But it's not going to happen just because I want it. It's going to happen because I decided to invest, to go all in, not just financially, including financially, but not just financially, but I went all in and I prayed for him. I went all in and I loved on him. I went all in and I said to some kid that didn't have a dad, hey, come and hang out with me and my boys. Let's go play this together. Let's go work it. Let's go serve Joppa together. Let's go do something together. Come on now. No one is beyond saving. Amen. Speaking of God's teaching, Scripture said, we will not hide from their descendants. We will tell the next generation the praiseworthy deeds of God, His power, and the wonders He's done. You know what? God's done awesome freaking things here. Like, seriously, God has done awesome things here. I was talking with my mate Tyler this week, and I bet he tells his kids, and I bet he will keep telling his kids, right, what God's done here. Because you know what? When I got here, Tyler thought I was bat crap crazy. But a nice guy. That's, you know, you thought I was a nice guy, right? You thought I was a nice bat crap crazy guy. That's what Tyler thought of me, right? Because I'm like, yo, we got like a few people. Let's do awesome big things. Tyler's like, you need more people for big things, you know? And we get to about 100 people coming to church, and I'm like, let's go rent this building, like the one we're in right now. We owned a grand total of about $10,000 worth of stuff that you'd make music with, that stuff. Yeah, and that's it. Nothing else, right? We didn't have any seats or anything, and I'm like, let's go lease this building because that's what God's got for us. And Tyler's saying to his wife or someone, this guy's like stupid. He's a nice, stupid guy, but he's nice, but he's kind of stupid because we can't do that, right? You ever felt like that ever before, right? So y'all, everyone who was here then, you're like, yeah, about you. Yeah. In fact, I was telling Tyler that. That's where he learned that, right? And then you know what happened? God blessed his church. Mm-hmm. God blessed his church. And then you know what? About a year or two later, I'm like, hey, everybody, look at this room. It's great. There's lots of people. We got to go to two services. And Tyler goes to his wife, this guy's bat crap crazy again. He's just nuts. We fit in the room. We don't need to go to two. What's he doing? So I'm like, all right, let's go to two services. And then sure enough, about a year or so later, it's like, hey, we got two full services. What's going on? In fact, we had to buy more chairs. I know you look around today and you're like, where are the people at? Yeah, me too. Where are they at? Did you know that Sunday, that Father's Day is one of the lowest attended Sundays in church? That's why we had to pray for fathers and kids at the start of the sermon. It's one of the lowest attended Sundays in church because people don't want to hear about dads. That's really sad, isn't it? Some people didn't get intentional about generational, did they? We're going to do something different at Eternity Church, amen? But let's look at the average instead, not in summer, right? And not Father's Day. You know, so we grew a lot. God's doing great things. He's always doing great things, those services. And then I say, hey, God's saying we should buy this building. Tyler's like, guy's lost his mind. It's like over $1 million. Right, he's lost his mind. We've only been Eternity Church for like 3 years when I start telling people that. Tyler literally thinks that. He told me this week. It's so funny. But this time he's like, you know, babe, every time we've thought he's bat crap crazy, but then God, him, she didn't agree. Good. You were injecting faith into him. Someone say, yeah, come on, we got some faith. All right. And so then you know what happens? He's like, all right, this time, I think it's stupid, but we'll probably be wrong. So he's starting to change, starting to learn about some faith, right? You know, because he's seen the stories. Yeah, yeah. So his faith has risen. So we bought it. So we did. That's right. That's right. You got to tell stories. Faith rises when people see and witness God doing great things. You got to tell stories. He's got to tell his kids how this happened so they got the faith when it's time to do a $50 billion, because of inflation, dollar extension in like 40 years. So they got the faith that we got because God did things that only God can do. Amen. The next generation can do more, go further, save more souls, have more influence. If we make sure to tell them, show them, teach them, set an example for them that God is powerful. They can inherit from us a powerful church. Picture it. Politicians, police, schools, businesses, local social programs looking to our children for the answers. Because we told our children the story and they got the same faith plus more than us, amen? They've seen, been told, they've witnessed the wonder of God's great power right here at Eternity Church. So we can leave them with a strong church, a solid church that has a firm and biblical foundation. We can set them up to stay true to the Word of God. Show them that, yes, you can have a contemporary, vibrant, people-loving church that never compromises. Church can stand for truth, embrace the hurting because Jesus Christ came into the world that they would be saved through him. He came to bring life and abundant life. So we need to invest in the future of this church. Amen. We need to invest in the future of what God's doing in this church, not just financially, but financially included. But we need to invest with our prayers, with our serving, with our volunteering, with our leading, with our hospitality, with opening up our homes, with loving strangers, with praying for the homeless, with visiting the homeless. Amen. Come on now. That's what we got to do. Come on, someone stand up and praise the Lord for what's coming as the band comes back up. Come on, come on, come on. Come on, praise him. He's got a great and mighty future in front of you. Your children can inherit a strong church, a biblical church, a godly church, a church with a firm foundation, amen. Your story doesn't have to be their story. Your pain doesn't have to be their pain, amen. But they can see and know that it's only by the grace and the power of God and obedience to God that great things happen, amen. You can take your seats. I'm a little fired up. When I start thinking and talking about the future, I get freaking fired up. Yeah, I do. I don't stop. Man, I told you a few weeks ago, I had a friend who's like, Jesse, you can take a break now. You can relax. Church has grown. Church is bigger. It's stable. It's this. I'm like, you shut up. I ain't stopping. I ain't taking a chill pill. Chill pills are for people who need chill pills. Pastors don't need chill pills. Pastors need fire pills. Pills that make your belly burn with the Word of God. Pills that make you sound like Jeremiah when he said, I tried to stop preaching the Word of God, but it was shut up in my bones like fire. That's the pill the preacher needs to take. That's the pill y'all need to take. Amen. Come on now. That wasn't in my notes. I'm way over time today, so make peace with it. You know, about 20 months ago, I stood on this stage as we launched Kingdom Expansion. It was the blueprint that God gave us. It was to be an ongoing opportunity for people to say, I want to go beyond tithes and love offerings. I want to be a part of building the future. I want to be a part of building it further. And I want to be a part of building more for the kingdom of God. Amen. It was a commitment to tithe and then some. And it enabled us to buy this building. When we were a four-year-old church buying a $1.4 million building, that's how this happened, because God gave us a blueprint. God did miracles in your lives financially and in ours. And then, do you know what? We all got together and we said, we're going to invest in what God's doing. Amen. It enabled us to send thousands and thousands and thousands and more than tens of thousands of dollars to Mumbai, India, to plant a God-fearing church right there, IC Church in Mumbai, India. And it's done. And we did that. In India, come on now, we did that. It enabled us to bless our local high schools in ways that they've never experienced before. We did things that blew teachers' minds, and we've got plans that are going to blow their minds more. Things that teachers are like, who are these crazy people? Indian Hills Junior High have never ever seen or experienced the things that our church has done and is doing for them. They think that our church is the best thing since sliced bread, and they love our youth pastor too. It enabled us, Kingdom Expansion, enabled us to give more money to Joppa than any other organization last year. It built for the future. It spread its influence further. It enabled us to do more for the kingdom of God. We've seen the power of God at work here, there, and everywhere. Amen. And today I'm excited to share with you something that you're going to help us do this year as a part of Kingdom Expansion. All right? You excited to hear more? I am. Come on now. After the service today, and particularly over the next few weeks when you see more pictures from the architects, you're going to be like, you're going to be making phone calls to mommy and daddy saying, mom and dad, give us your money. You're going to be like, listen to the sermon, invest, son, dad. I want to share some stuff with you. This is super exciting. This year we're going to build for the future, build it further and build it more. We got some pictures up here. Let's start with what Kingdom Expansion is doing in Mumbai. No, go back, Mumbai. There we go, sorry. But that was awesome too, thank you. You're awesome. This is Sanjay. Pastor Sanjay is an absolute legend. He planted the church in Mumbai. You know what, they're doing well, but we have not forgotten them. We're not the kind of church that says, you know what, you're doing all right now, we're going to back off. No, we're like, man, they're doing good. That is good soil. Let's throw more at them, amen? More souls saved right there in the heart of India, amen? So we're going to do that. That's Pastor Sanjay's family. This is their church. Let's get that crowd shot and leave it there. There we go. This is their church. God bless them. You did that. I'm pretty sure there's two churches that supported that church, man. Only two people supported that, and I think we gave the most. So that's pretty awesome. We did that. Yeah. Touch your neighbor and say, we did that. Thank God. And then now over to the scoreboard. These cost $7,800. Indian Hills Junior High has got like really, really bad ones. So we said, let's get you some new ones. And they said, what? We are buying a school, two new scoreboards worth $7,800 each. Put some sponsorship down the bottom here. Yeah, it'll have a little sponsorship banner down the bottom there. We did that for a school. That school's mind is blown away. That's what we get to do with Kingdom Expansion money, with people and a whole church that cares not just about what happens here, not just about what happens around the world, but what happens all around us, amen? And schools finding out that the Church of Jesus Christ loves their guts, amen? They hear a lot from churches about, the schools. You know what they hear from us? Man, we freaking love you guys here. Have two scoreboards worth about 15 grand. That's what we do, amen? That'll bless every teacher and family. And then lastly, but not leastly, right here, next picture, we're doing this. We're going to make this place look like the heart it has, all right? This house has a contemporary, just vibrant culture. It just doesn't quite look like it outside. I don't know why the architects put Beamers and Cadillacs up there, but maybe one y'all are gonna give me one, I don't know. And so, but seriously, what we're doing is we're going to glass in that driveway out the front. We're gonna glass that in out there. New driveway comes up here, the roundabout, new entry there and there and there. And we're gonna do that. But then, and that's because we're gonna need more space. Because we do not have enough space in this room, enough seats in this room, or even the ability to put them in yet, to do Christmas this year. Or Easter. Every year, whatever we've averaged at Easter has been our average attendance by Easter the next year. We grow by that much every year. Whatever Easter's attendance is our next year's full attendance. So that's insane. I'm not gonna miss out on that. All right, we're not missing out on that, amen. And so we're moving this janky old stage. Well, we're not moving it. We're just gonna destroy it and build a new one over here, right there. Okay, can you see my little laser? Does it work? Yeah, good, good, good. You know, apparently if you're exactly 13, you can't see red. And so, and then we're gonna move the doors from back there to the side. And we're gonna put a grandstand across the back there with seats up on there. And we're gonna fit, we're really aiming for 600, but we're gonna fit 580 seats in here, okay? And that means over three services, we can run about 1,500 people in church. So that gives us hopefully another 2 to 3 years, 4 years maybe until we gotta go crazy. But here's the thing, I'm personally invested in this because I have kids that I want to raise up in a vibrant, soul-winning, ever-growing, always-influencing church forever. I got kids that I want to raise in this church, so I'm personally invested in this. I admit it, I've got a stake in this myself. We got to do this. My kid, my eldest son's gone to college in 10 years. I don't have a lot of time left with him until he's out on his own. Some of y'all have got the same story. We got to get cracking. We got to get busy investing in the future, amen? So that when they come back from college, they have a healthy, vibrant, Jesus-loving, soul-winning church to come to, amen? Come on, would you stand up with me? I've gone way over time, but are you okay with it so far? Is it all right that I went over? Good. So that's what we're doing. It's going to be a great year. We're not going to take up any extra offerings. We don't do that here. All we do is on Sunday, we take up our offering for our tithes and offerings. You can also put your Kingdom Expansion envelopes in there as well. And then we only take up love offerings when we have guest speakers. We don't take up building fund offerings. We don't take up special offerings and goal offerings. We just trust that you will seek God, step out in faith, and help God and help us do what He's put on our hearts. Amen. And so do that. Get involved. Invest now. Reap a great benefit later. Reap a great benefit tomorrow. But we're going to try and we're going to believe God that all that will be done before Christmas. Actually, by November. So that'll be awesome, won't it? So get ready for some interruption. But I promise you'll only get our best anyway. But come on, we want to keep preaching the word, reaching the world, loving the homeless, saving the lost. But honestly, we're just going to keep doing what God's called us to do. Amen. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the Eternity Church podcast. For more episodes, you can find us on iTunes or at eternitydm.podbean.com.